These past 5 weeks, we have been learning what it means to be a community as the body of Christ. And I don't know about you, but this series has been really inspiring and encouraging to me. And I'm really excited about where God may lead us as we respond to our calling. The other day, someone asked me how I was doing and how things were going at Grace. And, you know, honestly, that's always a difficult question to answer, because to answer thoughtfully, at least, because there's so many facets to our lives. There's so many facets to this church. There's some things that I'm incredibly encouraged about, and there's other difficult things, as is the case in all our lives. But let me just say this. I really, really love this church. This family is amazing to me, and there is no place I would rather be. This is a great journey we are on, and we're on it together, and that's the great, great thing. Seeking truth together, growing together, life in the hands of God together. That's a great thing. Today, we're going to be doing something a little bit differently. You may have noticed you weren't handed our typical bulletin, but got something like this. There's also a little card in the middle of it, and there's a pen. We're making it as easy as possible for you. And I wanted to kind of just talk about what's going on. This is Ministry Sunday. And this is sort of the culmination of this series on community as the body of Christ. Let me give you a preview of what's going to happen today. First of all, we're going to have a few of you, come up at various times during the service to share with us about their experience serving and what they face and how God has worked in their lives. Tim Onan in a few moments, Jamie Mathisrud and Terry Pollock will share with us some things that's on their heart. Dave is going to come up and share with you a set of values, a vision, if you will, for this church that we have recently put together, and I think you're really going to like the way it expresses who we think we are called to be, biblically speaking, as a church. So he'll do that. And then I'll come up and talk with you and hopefully really encourage you to respond and to consider how you play a vital, crucial role in making things happen here, building up one another, ministering to one another. I'm not going to walk through everything in this, but I'm going to highlight a couple things. And then at the end, we're going to have a chance to respond together in worship, a time out in the atrium. There'll be some food out there for you, refreshments, and just an opportunity to ask questions, to talk, share ideas, whatever it might be. So hopefully this will be a real encouraging and informative Sunday. So that's it, but that's a lot. But before we move on, I just want to make a couple of important announcements. Some of you may know little John Taggart, Tim's nephew, 5 years old, and he has been struggling, if you know him, with cancer for the last few years, and he passed away this past Friday. And, you know, I was thinking about it. What, as a parent, I just can't think of anything more difficult. Your five-year-old. And so let's just really be praying for that family. I hear they're doing relatively well, considering the circumstances. This wasn't a complete shock, but nevertheless, it's brutal. And so they would appreciate your prayers, I'm sure, and love if you know them. Also, I don't know the latest on Virginia. I know Virginia Davis, you know, we talked about it last, prayed about it last Sunday. She went into surgery on Monday. Apparently the surgery went really, really well. However, sort of post-surgery, there were some complications and some real difficulties. And so last I heard, it was a pretty rough go. And so continue to pray for her, pray for that family. Audrey McIntosh as well. You know, this is a tough time for them. And so however we can love them, let's do so. That's what the family of God is all about. On another note, the women's retreat is coming up next weekend. All of you women should have received a thing in the mail that has a map, instructions, and information about it. If you did not receive it, Donna Baker will make sure you get one. Donna, raise your hand. You ever think everybody knows you anyway. Please come up to her and she'll take care of you. And also, there's going to be a portion of the events that will be maybe, weather permitting, outside in a pretty little kind of atrium area. You may want to bring something warm, a sweater or something, maybe a little cool, so I encourage you to do that as well. That is it. Let's continue our time of worship. And the children, you may be dismissed.
Dave preached last week about gifts and using the gifts that God's given you. And I know for me, God's given me the ability to play music and lead worship. But it's a really difficult thing for me to do. It's hard for me to be up here. I really struggle with fear and just trying to get through something that's difficult for me. And it's not always easy for me. In fact, a few months back, I was supposed to lead worship, and I just couldn't. I was in a place where I just couldn't get up on stage for a number of reasons, mostly fear. And I had to call Scott last minute to come and cover for me. So I'm noticing that the things that God's gifted me with are usually the things that terrify me. And I think that that's more than a coincidence. I think that it keeps me humble and it glorifies God instead of me, because it's God's grace, I think, that gets me through a lot of this, the things that I know he's called me to do. And I used to read about fear and peace in the Bible, just trying to search what the scriptures say. And I used to think that fear was a sin. That sort of nervous, just freaked out feeling was my lack of trust in God. I wasn't trusting enough in God. It was obvious because I wasn't feeling that. And I thought that God gives us peace. That's what he does. We pray for peace and we feel fear and somehow he takes that away, that fearful feeling. And I'm realizing that that's not the case. And I'm learning that it's not a sin for me to be freaked out and to be overwhelmed by something that God's called me to do. When the New Testament talks about peace, it's almost always in regards to our relationship with God, not a feeling that we have. That we have peace with God now, that there's no condemnation. We have a sure, peaceful relationship, that God's no longer going to condemn us anymore. In fact, the Greek word that it uses was the word they would use for periods between times of war, sort of that peaceful period. And so it's sort of the opposite of war is the way that the Bible tends to use it. I'm learning that my responsibility is to do the things that God's gifted me to do, even though they're so hard for me to do, to use those gifts. And for me, it means getting up on the stage and leading worship, even if I'm not always in a place where I feel comfortable doing that. And I'm realizing that whatever happens, my responsibility is to take that step and just get up here. And whatever happens after that is completely up to God. I'm learning that God's in control of what happens. If I lead wonderful worship and the Spirit moves, well, that's God's grace. If I freak out and I can't get through it, well, God uses that for his purposes as well. So I'm learning, that's what I'm learning mostly, is to accept God's purposes. I think that's the mark of a true believer, is someone who doesn't always expect things to work out well or doesn't always expect things to be happy and peaceful, but they expect God to accomplish his purposes, whatever they may be, and sometimes they don't make sense. And I share this for two reasons. One, I want to encourage those of you who are in the congregation and feeling that same sense where you know God's called you to do something, but you have that fear where you don't think you can. Because I'm right there with you, and I can speak for anyone that's up on stage. There's nothing special about us. we're just as imperfect, and we struggle just as much as all of you. The second is that it helps me to be honest with where I'm at, because it takes the pressure off. That way you sort of know more about me and kind of what I'm going through and my struggle, and it won't be so unusual if someday I don't lead worship when I should, or if I put my guitar down and run out of the room. I mean, my mind doesn't shut off, and I think of everything that could possibly go wrong, and I know a lot of you know what that's like. It reminds me of Rick Warren, the pastor at Saddleback. He has the same issue. He really struggles with being up in front of a crowd and preaching. And he actually has to write out his sermon notes and give them to an associate pastor just in case he can't do it, if he's in a place where he just can't get up on stage. And I'm learning that, he has the gift of preaching, and God's used him in amazing ways. So I'm learning that's our responsibility, despite what we're feeling, which it's not a sin to feel that sort of, you know, doubt and uncertainty, but to get up and do what God's called us to do, for me, is something that I'm still learning. Anyway, this next song is a hymn, Come Thou Fount, and it's one of my favorites, because the language to me is so modern. To say, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Jesus sought me when a stranger, just this sense of we're often running from God, and he always pursues. And I'm learning that I'm a child of God, and there's nothing that can change that. So let's sing this together.
So over the past month or so, the leaders and the staff, we've been revisiting the question, who are we? What is it that we value? And so I have the task of sharing that with you in about 15 minutes, which will be difficult, but I'm very excited to be able to share this with you. Take a look at your bulletins. Open up to that first page that says who we are. I want to just take us through this page this morning for the next 15 minutes. Now, this is not an official vision statement, mission statement in any way. This is simply a set of things that we want to hold to at Grace Fellowship Church, that we value, that we feel God is calling us to. This is who we want to be. And as you hear some of these values, some of these will resonate with you. You'll say, yeah, that's us. That sounds like us. And others of these may, you might hear and you say, I'm not so sure that sounds like us. And that's because this is both who we are and who we want to be. This is things that we want to value, things we want to move forward with. So some of this will resonate. Others may be more challenging. If you've got a pen, keep your pens. I want to have you underline some things just as a way of getting at what we're trying to say here. Okay, so I'm going to go through these and just talk through these a bit and try to paint a picture of what it is that we want to be as a community. First, we are a worshiping community. We seek to extol the highest view of God and to live our lives out of a grateful response to his love and grace in our lives. We believe in a big God at Grace. We believe in an all-powerful God, a God who is the creator of all things. And we believe in a God who is very loving and gracious to us. And we believe that this big God has reached out to us in grace, and he has initiated with us. And whereas it may seem that all our lives we've been seeking him, we've been searching for him, we believe that underneath that, the reality is that he has been searching for us, and that he has grabbed a hold of our lives. And that's something that we hold to very strongly at Grace. We believe in God's scandalous grace here. And by scandalous, I mean grace given to people who don't deserve grace, which is all of us. And because of that, we want the thing that marks our lives the most simply to be gratitude to this awesome God who has reached out to us in love and grace. If you would underline those two words, grateful response. That's what we think worship is all about. That should mark our lives, that all of our lives are to be lived out of a grateful response to who God is. Everything we do is to be lived out of this grateful response to this big and awesome God that we believe in. Look at that next phrase under this same one. We value authentic worship, and we resist the temptation to earn God's favor through our accomplishments or even our religious behavior, affirming that God rescued us while we were sinners. You may have noticed that we're very suspicious of formulas at Grace, of six easy steps to a better Christian life. And what we value instead is what we would call authentic worship, which is simply coming to God as we actually are. That's authentic worship, coming to Him as we actually are and responding within who we are. We've come to terms, or we want to have come to terms with the fact that we cannot earn this grace of God's, so we're going to stop trying to earn this grace and be ourselves. And that means that our obedience then flows from His grace. We don't have to live lives insecure, trying to obey Him, trying to please Him so that He will love us. But our lives are to be lived in obedience because He loves us. That's to be the source of our obedience to Him. Okay, we want to be a worshiping community. Second value, we are a learning community. We courageously pursue the full truth of who God is and what His purposes are as revealed in Scripture. If you would underline that, courageously pursue the full truth. You may have noticed that we're committed to truth at Grace, whether we like it or not. And we're especially committed to the truth that has been revealed in Scripture. And we have made a fundamental commitment here, and it's this, that we're never going to use the Scriptures as a springboard to say what we want them to say. And that whenever we come to a point where Scripture is saying something that we don't want it to say, or that feels uncomfortable, or that we don't fully understand, we've made a commitment to side with Scripture instead of siding with what we want it to say. You may have heard of the story of Thomas Jefferson, who would actually tear pages out of his Bible and edit his Bible so that it looked just like he wanted it to. We have a commitment to not do that here. How do we go about this pursuit of truth? That's what this next line is about. Our pursuit may lead us to affirm truths that are culturally unpopular. Yet we understand that everyone is in process in this pursuit, and we welcome people along the journey. The key thing there is that everyone is in process. We are all in process. We are all lifelong learners. None of us have arrived. And so we want to welcome people along this pursuit towards truth, to wrestle with it, to argue with it, to try to come to grips with it together. And when we say we welcome people along the journey, we don't say that in the sense of, oh, we'll hold your hand and pat your back until you understand it how we understand it. But truly, we are all on this journey towards truth, wrestling. We are co-seekers of truth. And we are committed to that at Grace Fellowship Church. And we feel every church should be committed to that pursuit of truth. So we are a worshiping community. We're a learning community. Third, we are a community of disciples. We have been called into a transforming and obedient relationship with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. This is where it gets more personal. We can believe in truth in the abstract. You can believe in a set of ideas, a set of doctrines. But fundamentally, we also, in addition to that, want to be committed to this fundamental relationship with Jesus Christ. If you would underline those words, relationship with Jesus Christ. At the center of our lives is to be this radical relationship with this man, Jesus, who is our brother, is our friend, is our king, is our savior, is our God. And that we always want to be asking the question, what does it mean for me to follow Jesus in my life? What does it mean to listen to him? What does it mean to wrestle with him? What does it mean to follow him? What does it mean to spend time with him in order to become more like him and to know how to live my life the way he would want me to live my life? That second statement under this value. We're committed to following Jesus and surrendering our lives to him daily. in order that we might know him better and live our lives the way he has taught us. We believe in a life that is lived day by day, this daily surrender to this person, Jesus Christ. And that means that we are to order our lives around pursuing him. Our lives should be structured and ordered in such a way that people could say, there's a person that is spending their days and spending their lives in pursuit of this guy, Jesus Christ, whoever he may be. And we believe, of course, that he is our Lord and Savior and God of the universe. Okay, so three values there. We're a worshiping community, we're a learning community, we're a community of disciples. You'll notice that those three values all relate to the horizontal, to our relationship with God. These next three values, the last three, did I say horizontal? I meant vertical. I went horizontal. That doesn't work. Vertical. The next three relate to our horizontal relationships with each other and with the world around us. Number four. We are, or we hope to be, a loving community. We're dedicated to loving one another and walking through life together. You can underline loving one another. Now, of course, relationally speaking, this is to be the mark of our community. This is the mark. Jesus Christ said, "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples." He could have said a lot of things, but he said, "By this, that you love one another." And we want that to be the distinguishing mark of this community, relationally speaking. And that as people from outside other churches or just in the world look at us, they may say, they might be a little weird, we might disagree with them sometimes, but we know this about them. They love one another well. We want to be about that as a community. Take a look at that next line there. In an increasingly individualistic culture, we believe wholeness is best pursued within the context of loving relationships that foster trust, vulnerability, and encouragement. It's an increasingly individualistic culture that we live in. And so we want to encourage one another, as I said a couple weeks ago, to not be lone ranger Christians, to not go it alone. But we are convinced that wholeness, that true healing, that us becoming more fully human and who we are meant to be, that always takes place within the context of relationships that are strong enough and that are safe enough, that provide the safety for people to become who God meant them to be, for them to explore themselves and discover who they are in Jesus Christ. That always takes place within the context of relationships. And God has been doing a work in the last 2 months in our staff in this way. He is drawing us closer together. We've had some great times together, and it is very clear to me that God is calling us, at least as a staff, towards the pursuit of our relationships, our friendships with each other. Our staff meetings are beginning to look more like 12-step program meetings than committee meetings. It's wonderful. We're pouring into each other's lives. People are exposing who they are to one another. And I believe that God is doing a great work in our staff and our relationships together, and we want that for all of us as a church. So, we're a loving community. Number five, we are a witnessing community. We seek to be witnesses of the gospel to the world in which we live. A church that exists for itself alone will die. If we exist simply to build ourselves up, to maintain this group, and that's how we see ourselves, we will die. We will not continue. And that we believe firmly that we don't exist just for our own sake, but we exist in this room for the sake of Orange County, for the sake of the communities we've been placed in, and for the sake of the world at large. And so we are called to be witnesses of the gospel. You can underline that, witnesses of the gospel. In whatever context we find ourselves, I think this is a value that's very hard for many of us. It's very hard for me. And one of the reasons is because of fear, which Tim just talked about. I struggle with fear, and that keeps me from being a clearer witness than I could be, and I think that happens for many of us. Another reason, I think, is because we haven't ourselves, even as Christians for many years, come to terms with the fact that we are witnesses of the gospel. And if you know, gospel means good news. that we have really, really good news to share with the world. And I'm not convinced that we actually believe that. When you go see a good movie, when you go watch the Lakers win a game or maybe lose a game, depending on your perspective, when you watch something that's compelling, you want to go tell people about it. It's exciting, and you go and you just tell. It's a natural response. And I think many of us, while we believe this is good news in our heads, it hasn't sunk into our hearts, into our lives, that God's grace to us as sinners is really, really good news. It's not something to be embarrassed about. It's not something to be afraid of. It's something that we have, that God has given us, that we have to offer the world. Now, that second statement, our witness includes our common life together, our loving service in the community, and our proclamation of the gospel to the community. There's many ways that we can witness. We can speak with words. Our relationships together can be a witness. And our lifestyle, our service in the community, the way we treat people, all of those things are valuable witnesses to who God is and what he's done in our lives. Okay, final value. We are an equipping community. We believe that Christ is the head of the church, and we affirm a shared model of leadership. You can underline that last statement, a shared model of leadership. It's a common question that's asked at this church, and it's, who's the head pastor again? Who's in charge of this thing? And that's a difficult question to answer for us. And many people would like to have a clear answer to that question. It feels good to have somebody that you can attach to a movement, someone who's dynamic and that is driving this thing forward, and you can say, this is the person that's in charge and we're following this man. And we have resisted that because we believe that Christ is the head of the church. And so leadership here is shared among leaders. And none of us are supermen. None of us are amazing people. We're all called to lead and serve you within the giftedness that we've been given. And so we resist having one person that's at the top. Second statement, that final statement. We believe that responsibility for our church should be shared among leaders who then seek to equip members for works of service so that the body builds itself up in love. This is what I talked about last week. This is what we're talking about this week. And I think we have a long way to grow in this area. But that as leaders, we want to see our job increasingly as not one that we are simply trying to serve you and minister to you, but that we are trying to help you serve and minister to one another. So my role as a leader becomes to equip you to do the work that God has called you to do, whatever that is. We don't want this community just to be a lecture hall that you come to and hear a set of interesting ideas about Scripture and then you go on your way, but we want this to be a community that frees you up to be who you are through these safe relationships, that allows you to understand who God has made you to be, and then that frees you up then to use your giftedness, to use who he's made you for the sake of the body, so that we all are building ourselves up in love, both in maturity and numbers, and there's many ways that we grow. But that's what we want this to be, a place that you are equipped to do the thing that God has placed on your heart, the thing that you are passionate about, and to free you up to do that. So that's who we want to be. We want to be a worshiping community. We want to be a learning community. We want to be a community of disciples, a loving community, a witnessing community, and an equipping community. That's a community that I personally would love to be a part of. I think that's a great picture of a community that Scripture talks about. So for the rest of our time this morning, as you know, we're going to talk about this sixth value. We want to be an equipping community. We want this to be a place where you are able to be who you are and use your gifts. And by that, I don't mean that we just come up with ministries and programs and try to plug you into ministries and programs that we have, but we want this to be a place that frees you up, that you can say, I have an idea, I have something that God has put on my heart, and I want to do it. And we want to help you do that. We want to come alongside you and say, great, let's help you figure out how you can do this, and we will support you in that. So we want to encourage you to pursue ministries that you want to pursue. We don't want our ministry and our programs to drive what you do. We want you to drive our ministries and programs, the giftedness that we actually have in this body. And so with that, we have asked Jamie Mathisrud to come and share a bit about what God has placed in her heart. Jamie and her husband James have been coming here for about a year, a little over a year, maybe. They have three kids. And Jamie has something on her heart that she has wanted to do in this community that deals with creating a mentor ministry for women. So she's going to share a bit about that. But I would start by asking you, what is it, how did it come about that God placed this ministry on your heart for our church here?
I think since I became a believer in 93, I've kind of had this desire for a mentor, but it just kind of has been an underlying desire. So when I came to Grace about a little over a year ago, I was really immersed in ministry at my previous church and came here and just knew it was a season of rest as I was expecting my third, and it was just crazy time of life. So I came in and looked forward to the Wednesday Bible study starting, and these women that were coming up here and teaching were just amazing. And I thought, I really want to connect to these women and know these women. I have so much to glean from them. When I had my third child, three of these women in particular, Lisa Appleby and Tina Drake and Brett Craig, hardly knew me at all, served me these amazing gourmet meals, brought them to my home, and just fed my family. And we were just so blessed by that. And so that kind of really brought me to the place of, gosh, I really do want that mentor still, but don't have it. And from that, I just kind of met with Clark and a friend of mine in a small group, and we'd been praying for months, how am I going to get involved at Grace? Where do I serve here? And talked about a mentoring thing and what that would look like. And it was basically, you know, then talking to Mark and then talking to Terry Pollock and just being in prayer and kind of waiting, making phone calls and meetings, and here we go.
So what is this ministry? Tell us a bit about the ministry. Tell us how people can get involved in this ministry.
Okay. It's an acronym ministry. I was an English teacher, so I love acronyms. It's WING, Women Imparting to the Next Generation. And WING is based on, and this is no mistake, the Lord knew this going into it, the women are teaching us on Wednesdays about Titus 2, and that's the foundation of WING Ministries, is Titus 2, 3 through 5, talks about, in a nutshell, just teaching the younger women. It's nothing lofty or overwhelming. It's just teach us from your lives. And so it's the concept is pairing younger women in their 20s and 30s with an older, more spiritually mature woman in her 40s and up for about 6-month time period. And they would talk weekly on the phone and have conversation and pray together. And then once a month, they'd get together, maybe have a cup of coffee or go have lunch. And then as a group of all of us mentors, there would be about 20 to 25 pairs. We'd get together for 5 events between January and June and just kind of be encouraged and blessed together. And so the purpose is really for, first I should say, we younger women, to any of you out there who might be in the 40s up category, we long to be just nurtured in the Lord by you, just through your life experience. We just want to go, okay, you're a step ahead of us. Help lead us. Hold our hand. We want to be encouraged and serve beside you and just ultimately know the Lord better through that relationship. But also, as an encouragement, if you are in that category to the 40s up, there is that biblical calling to share your lives with us. And so this ministry provides that opportunity for both us to glean and grow, but also for you to serve in that way, just sharing your life with us.
Great. Thank you. Just a story of someone that saw a need, had a desire, saw a personal need, wanted to get connected, and also saw a need for other women. And this is starting, and we'll see what God does through that. There's so many opportunities like that here that we want to encourage you towards. So I'm going to ask Mark Page to come up, and he's going to share more about all sorts of opportunities.
Last week, as David said, we looked at Ephesians 4, and I'm going to read you a verse that we looked at. This, though, is out of the New Living Translation. I like how it's expressed. It says this, under Christ's direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I love the way that is expressed. And the metaphor of the human body is such a good one. It's one that we obviously can relate to really well. And I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have had injuries from time to time where Maybe a limb was disabled for a time, or we were in tremendous pain, and it really debilitated us. And we know what that did to us. It took us down. It made us less effective. It made us sick. Our physical systems are amazing examples of the miracle of interconnectedness, as each part plays an invaluable role in the functionality of our body and likewise our spiritual body, the body of Christ. Many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the Pareto principle. Maybe you've heard of another way of describing it, the 80-20 rule, or the law of the vital few. And it's a fascinating principle. Actually, if you've ever studied it, it's a fascinating principle that basically states that this: a large majority of consequences and results stem from a small percentage of causes. And what's so fascinating about it is that when you really analyze things, it's true. It's true in almost every context. Here's the problem, though. That is not an Ephesians 4 concept. That a small percentage do the majority of the work. We are, every single one of us, is an invaluable component to this organism called the church. And when members of this body are not functioning, the body is hurt. Yesterday, I was trying to imagine, just for a moment, what it would be like if every single person in this little church community was a fully functioning member. Think about it for a minute. It would be so unbelievable. Seriously, it's mind-boggling what that would look like. And you know what? That's possible. I want to believe that's possible. I mean, my cynical side and my realistic side says, well, that'll never happen. But you know what? We can't let ourselves go there. I think we need to hope and strive for that. And so let's do so. You know, it doesn't have to be in the context of a formal structured ministry at Grace. There are so many of you who are doing great work for the body of Christ in your own way. Behind the scenes that many of us never know about. But it's simple, too. I mean, let me just give you a few examples of ways in which we can love and serve one another that doesn't have a title associated with it. But simply, it's maybe walking through these doors each week and being really aware of what's going on around you. We're so kind of consumed with, am I looking good today, or how I'm feeling today, or you know, whatever it might be, or what happened at home this morning. But to be aware and look at people's eyes and faces and expressions, and you'll be amazed what you notice. People maybe seem sad or kind of lonely. Maybe they're new, and they're sort of standing, and they don't know who to talk to or what to do. To respond to those situations in love, wow, that would be awesome. And if a lot of us did that, that would be just amazing. You receive this booklet, and I want you to turn to the page after the Who We Are page. I'm not going to walk you through all of these things. There's obviously way too much there. And you can glance at some of them. Some of them might kind of pop out to you, but I want to tell you a little bit about what's in here, what's not in here. First of all, you might notice what's not here. What's not here is any of our Bible studies, and we have a lot of them, and great ones. Some of the greatest things about our church are some of the really strong, powerful Bible studies that we can be a part of. But the reason why they're not here is that those are primarily equipping ministries. What's on here are primarily service ministries or service opportunities. Not that there can't be service opportunities in the context of those other things, but these are the things that we really wanted to emphasize. Also, you might notice some of these things are things that are in place and have leaders or coordinators in place, and they're down here because the more the better. We need more people to be a part of that, more volunteers, and so they're included in that. Some of them are things that are in place but don't have a leader, don't have somebody to coordinate it. And so what happens is it sort of flounders a little bit, or it's not super efficient, or things fall through the cracks, and we kind of try maybe amongst the staff or whatever to do our best, but really needs a leader. Some of them, quite frankly, are, wouldn't it be great if we had this? A couple ideas, just sort of throwing out some ideas, and it might pop, catch your attention, and I can do that. That is a good idea, and I wanna be a part of that, but it won't happen unless God raises a leader up, and so it'll live or die depending on that. Some of these things are higher profile. Some of these things are behind the scenes. Some are creative. Some are really practical, even down and dirty, you know, practical. Some require visionaries. Some require worker bees. Some are ways to help financially. Some are ways in which you can just help us by imparting your wisdom and expertise in a particular area. I want to just highlight a couple things that are really kind of on my heart for you to emphasize this morning. One is what, at least temporarily, we'll call the welcoming and hospitality or integration team. And basically what that is a group of people who are dedicated to being really creative, really intentional about how we welcome people when they come to the door, how we follow up with them after they're here, how we, in a sense, come alongside them and help them get from, oh, this was a warm place that one Sunday when we first came, but now I don't know what to do, and it's so hard for me to integrate and assimilate into this church family. That's a tough thing, quite frankly, to do at any church. Maybe it's tougher here, I don't know, but you know what? We could grow in that area. And I really, really want to see us become really good at that. The good news is that there's a couple people who have expressed an interest already in wanting to be a part of this team, so it will happen. The chairmanship of it might be temporary until someone wants us to raise up and maybe take it on for a year. But I am so excited that this is going to happen. And I really want to encourage you, the more the better, quite frankly, on this kind of team. And frankly, it doesn't get us all the others off the hook. We all need to be really good at welcoming and coming alongside people. But the intention of this team is that there's a group of people who are really doing a lot of thinking about it, a lot of the work and details that surround this kind of thing. So I want to just sort of pitch that, if you will, and encourage you in that regard. Another thing that, you know, this you know, may not be that appealing to many of you, but I'm just going to say it because it's in a tremendous need. God has blessed us with this building. A generous person years ago just gave it to us. And we own it, free and clear. We have no lease payments, no mortgage, but we have to take care of it. And as it ages, it's getting, you know, more difficult to do that, and it requires more and more attention. And as we've mentioned, not to belabor the point, but you've heard us say, because of budget issues, we've sort of kind of held off on certain things that we really need to do, and we sort of balanced the budget by not doing certain things. Well, you can't do that forever. And it just needs some attention. And so what we would love to see is a group of men and women who would come together to form a committee to help us think, care, and plan for the future even, regarding this facility, long-term issues, planning issues, as well as a subcommittee maybe of men or women who would want to, who are so inclined, who want to help us with maybe just day-to-day, need to, you know, fix this, patch this hole in the wall. And some of you do that already on an occasional basis, and I just want to say thank you so much. You don't know, you may not think it's that big of a deal. It's really a big deal. It frees us up as staff to be able to focus on some of the more pastoral things that we're called to do and not get bogged down with some of the other stuff that some of us, many of us, aren't inclined to do anyway. We don't have somebody that's on staff that we pay to do that. So we really rely on the help of like an Andrew who's been so faithful for so many years, and yet he has a business and he's got a lot on his plate and he can't rest solely on his shoulders, and some of you also. So that is just something that I want to throw out to you as well, a team of men or women to really help care for this facility and think for the future as well. You know, another thing I'll just mention briefly, this reminds me because I got a call the other day from our contact over at Shadow Mountain Resort where the men have had their men's retreat the past, gosh, number of years. And she said, Mark, we got to get your deal on the calendar. And she's right because it fills up. But it reminded me, you know what? We got to get a group of men together to start thinking about this. And so I really would love to see some men say, hey, listen, I want to be a part of a team to think, plan, prepare, pick the venue, do whatever we need to do, and start early so that we're prepared. That's another opportunity that's actually something that we need to get rolling on pretty quick. So I'll kind of toss that one at you. Finally, I just want to kind of mention one thing. I sort of alluded to it earlier. Leadership is what we really need. Not just I'll show up, but you know what? I'll take it. I'll run with it. I'll coordinate it. We really, really need that. And I want to give you an example of someone who, in her own way, really, really has helped me personally and blessed me and blessed this church as a result. And I'm going to have her come up in a second. But that's Terry Pollock. Terry is a good friend, and she had some good availability, particularly at this time. And I just asked her to meet with me. And we just got together in a conference room, and we just started talking and brainstorming. And it was amazing what came out of that. And what was good about Terry was not just that she had some good ideas, but she, when we left that meeting, she called me, so Mark, what are we going to do about that? How can we move it forward? And she sort of kept the ball rolling. And I have, personally, so many things on my plate that it's very easy for things to sort of slip through the cracks. And she made things happen. And it was an amazing, amazing blessing to me and to this church, because a lot of things have really kind of started to take off or are kind of brewing right now that's really, really exciting. So Terry, would you mind, as embarrassed as you might be right now, just come up and share a little bit about what's been encouraging to you and even maybe what led you to say, hey, I'm going to sort of step forward and kind of play that role.
Yeah, it was really exciting to dialogue with Mark, and he was talking a lot about what some of the needs were with the women and the church. And so what we did was start listening to the women in a more organized way, and the women expressed a variety of needs and a variety of ways that they wanted to give, but it wasn't all matched up. And so in the last few months, what we've done is be able to look at some of the needs and where some of them, where God's raised up some women to lead, like Jamie, and look at what we already have that's strong and sort of expand it. So women, you know, we have Tuesday and Wednesday Bible studies that are really solid and a lot of great ministry and mentorings already going on there. But the women who could only come at night didn't have a Bible study, and so it was such a blessing because God raised up Lisa and Jackie, and they're doing a Tuesday night Bible study. And it's been awesome to, I've been going and meeting the women there, and it's just been really neat to see how God's led Lisa and Jackie to be leaders. I don't know that they've really ever taught a lot of Bible study, but it's neat because they stepped out, as Dave and Tim were talking about earlier, and went forward. So we have an area where we can feed the healthy, and we also have an area where we need to strengthen the young. And while we have a lot of great things going on during the week, Jamie's come up with a new idea called Wing, where the older women, the Titus women, can strengthen the younger. And I think that's really exciting to see how God's raising up the leadership and bringing that forward. And then there's also the idea of reaching out into the community. And a number of the women said, you know, North Rise is awesome, and I want to be involved in that, but I also feel a real need to reach out to the people in our community, more local outreach. And a number of women have said they want to do that, and we're waiting for God to raise the leadership on that, and we're waiting to see how we can do that in a more organized way. And with the holidays coming up, I know each year we have some women who lead that and lead specific activities, and that's awesome, and we want to continue to do that. But we also hope that we can do something that lasts past the holidays. And so if God's placing that on your heart, maybe you can let Mark know about that. The other idea that came forward was that we need to, as a church body, continue to be people who help to heal the injured or the hurting among us. And what does that look like? And how do we do that? And that's something we're praying about. I've asked a number of you for input, and you've graciously given that. And we want to be a church body, especially among the women, where we can help to heal some of those hurts. We all come to church with a variety of hurts and struggles and burdens at times, and we want to be, we want to organize the women in a way so that women can minister to other women. That's not only biblical through in Titus, but it's also makes sense. It's healthy. It's smart for our staff. And the women really expressed a need for that. And so we want to come up with a way to do that, and so we're kind of in the brainstorming phase on what that might look like. Ezekiel 34 provides all these principles. It's about how God shepherds his flock. And so the idea of feeding the healthy and strengthening the young and caring for the lost and binding up or healing the injured as God does all that for his sheep and his flock is right there. And so I think it's exciting as we move forward that we keep that in mind and we learn how to step out. The thing I've heard over the last couple of weeks that really hits hard is that it's not how we feel about our gifts, but that God gave us those gifts, and that he gave us the gift to use and to share with the body. And so it's not that we think we're strong enough or ready or that we have enough time, but it's that God's called us to do that. And it sounds to me like it's not really optional, that it's important for us to respond. So God's been working in me over the years to come forward and share and be a part of a leadership team. And so I'm hoping that many of you will, as you've heard all morning, will answer that call and step out of your comfort zone and see how you can feed the sheep here or be a part of all this great excitement that's going on.
What an amazing opportunity, if you think about it, that we have to be a part of something much, much bigger than ourselves, to be a part of God's plan for his church. And the great thing about it is we get to do it together. We're going to conclude our service with a few songs, but this next song, the musicians are just going to play and sing for you. And we want you to take this time to reflect on what we're talking about. Maybe it's praying, maybe it's thinking, maybe it's looking over this little booklet, and consider how God might want to use you for the building up and loving of this church family. As I said earlier, we made it easy for you. We have a little information response card in there, a pen, There's no escaping, guys. And the purpose of that is, if you feel so inclined, if something has just comes to your heart right now, fill that out. You could put it in the offering boxes when you leave. You could. We really want to encourage you, as many as possible, to go out to the atrium, our new little atrium that has been built out there. There's going to be a number of us. We'll have name tags so you know who are the ones that are sort of the go-to people, to share ideas, to talk, ask questions, whatever it is you need. We've got some good stuff out there to eat as well. So I encourage you to do that. Take these home. If you're not sure and you just, you know, I need more time. I need to pray about this. I certainly don't want we don't want to force anything here, and we don't want to rush anything here. And so if you want to take this home and just pray about this with your family or just yourself, and then bring it back and drop it in the offering boxes and respond, we'll get back to you to communicate whatever it is that needs to happen. So let's just take this time right now to do that, and then we'll sing together the last couple songs, and we'll close, and hopefully we'll see you out in the atrium. Thanks.
Jesus, you're all.